And to Matthew chapter 6, we want to begin there as we continue our study through the Sermon on the Mount. Have you ever noticed that nobody counterfeits things of little or no value? Nobody counterfeits gum wrappers, but people do counterfeit $20 bills. People counterfeit great works of art, and that's true of Christianity. Because Christianity is of great value, you will always find counterfeit Christians. You'll find pseudo-saints everywhere that people assemble in the name of each one of us is in danger of slipping over into hypocrisy. And I want to help you this morning identify that if you're beginning to see these things happen, or even if you're unaware of it. I want to try to help you see how hypocrisy develops and how it slips into our lives if we're not careful. Read again with me those verses. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Now, giving for the servant of God is something that is just assumed. It's not if you give, but when you give. A non-giving Christian is a contradiction in terms. A Christian who goes through life untouched by the plight of the poor and the needy is denying the very name of the one he wears. Jesus was intimately involved with the poor and caring for the poor. The poor of his day were really not much different from the poor of our day. Poverty causes is caused by many different deficiencies and weaknesses. There are those today who are poor and who are in need because of mental deficiency. There are those today who are poor and who are dealing with poverty issues because of physical disabilities, blindness, disease, various handicaps. Now, what is not being discussed here is laziness. There are people in this world who are poor. There have always been people. There will always be people who are poor because of laziness. And Scripture is very clear about that. If a man will not work, neither shall he eat. But the Israelites were commanded to care for those weak members, those weaker members of their society. And God always honored this kind of giving and this kind of care. Cornelius, in Acts chapter 10 and verse 4, is commended. He was told, "Your prayers and your gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God." In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 10, Paul met with the apostles in Jerusalem, and they gave him a charge, and he related that charge. He said, "All they asked was that we should continue to remember the poor, the very thing I was eager to do." So in our society, we're always going to have those who have special needs around us, and that group can easily be taken advantage of, and we as God's people are to stand up for justice on their behalf. And this group will include, among others, the elderly. It will include widows. It will include orphans. It will include the ill, the mentally and physically handicapped, and we of all people should be in the vanguard looking out for the interests of this element of our society. We as Christians are responsible for caring for the needy in this area. Now, the Pharisees recognized this responsibility. They knew how God felt about it. They knew what God had said about it. And they discharged these responsibilities, but they did it for all the wrong reasons. And that's why Jesus criticizes them. Jesus describes the giving of the Pharisees as a public show, as something of a theatrical production. He uses what I believe is almost comical description of them. He says that they blow their trumpets in the synagogue and their trumpets on the streets. And it's this picture that they're announcing that they're about to make a contribution. And they ta-da-da, and here everybody looks. And now while they're looking, they drop their coin into the treasury. I believe he's using hyperbole, although some commentators believe that they actually carried around trumpets and sounded them and did this in a very real way. You see, they didn't really have the care for these individuals in their heart. They were wanting to do it to be seen, to be righteous and generous and caring, but in private, they didn't really care that much about those that they were helping with their financial contribution. With them, everything was in the showcase. Nothing was in the warehouse. I remember several years ago when I was at a camp, and we had all the kids, and one of the things that we did every day was have cabin inspection. And the kids were in a competition to see whose cabin would be the neatest. And they worked hard, and they would sweep out their cabins and make their beds. And we became increasingly critical of them through the week as they got better and better. And the competition grew more fierce. And one of the cabins decided that they had the ultimate weapon to win over the heart of the inspector. They all put their Bibles and opened them up on their pillow. And they weren't reading those Bibles. They were doing it for show. They were trying to win the contest. Now, we adults do that as well. We become members of charitable organizations because it looks good on our resume or because it's good for business. Or we'll attend a big church that has lots of contacts that will help us in our business. Or we'll donate to some cause that will enhance our reputation with certain individuals. Or we'll give to have our names published on donors' rolls. Or we, at times, are tempted to help in the high-profile needs that exist in our church or community. And we'll cultivate relationships with those that we know will brag on us publicly about what we have done. Are those who might be able in the future to return the favor in some way and scratch our back. Now, Jesus talks about this kind of thing. He even talks about it in the area of hospitality. Look for a moment over in Luke chapter 14. Jesus was a guest at a dinner party, and during the conversation, this is what he said to his host. Verse 12, Luke 14:12. Jesus said this to his host, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers, or relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they might invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor and the crippled and the lame and the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." Well, how do you know if your giving is acceptable? How do you know whether or not this spirit of hypocrisy has crept in? Well, Jesus gives the answer in one word, and here it is. If you want to know whether or not you're giving in the right way, or whether you're praying the right way, or whether you're fast, or anything that you do as an act of Christian service is done in the right way, this is the answer. Jesus said it all depends on motive. Motive. Motive is not part of it. Motive is everything. The wrong motive will nullify even the greatest act of service or the greatest contribution. Do you do what you do to be honored by men? That's the wrong motive. Are you going to give this bequest to have a building named for you? Is that your primary motive? Are you glorying and having your name published on that list of donors? Do you bask in the recognition that's given to you because of your service when your peers find out about it? Well, that's fine. If that's your motive, that's fine. Jesus acknowledges that that's one reason people do that. But he says, I tell you the truth, if that's your motive, then you have received your reward in full. Don't expect anything from God later on. Enjoy it. Yeah, people brag on you. Enjoy it. That's your reward. Because God will do nothing for you in the future. You know, anytime we're tempted to get our glory from men rather than from God, I just think it's sad. Because we are shortchanging ourselves in an incredible way. We're exchanging an earthly compliment for a heavenly reward. No motive, Jesus says, is everything. In 1 Corinthians 13:3, Paul wrote, "If I give all that I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing." What's your motive? Christianity is a deep religion, a searching religion. And God is concerned not only with what we do, He's concerned with why we do what we do. Jesus goes on to say that we should not even take personal stock in what we give. He says, don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. See, you can give anonymously to some need and still have the wrong motive if you go home and you just feel so smug and so happy and you glory in your goodness and that you did it secretly. If you keep a mental account of how generous you are and you reflect on that and gloat on that, even privately, that still is wrong motive. If you make an entry in your spiritual diary every time you do a deed of kindness, that's keeping record, even though you're not sharing it with the public. Jesus says, don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. And in essence, He's saying, do your giving and forget about it. In Matthew chapter 25, there's an interesting section there. Again, you may want to flip over and follow along with that. Matthew 25, down in verse 34. We have this picture of the judgment. And there in verse 34 it says, "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? And when did we see you sick in prison and go to visit you?' And the king will reply, 'I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me.'" Did you know that most of the things that you're going to be rewarded for by God when you get to heaven are going to be the things that you have forgotten about, that you've not kept in your spiritual resume and held tightly to? You know, we're familiar with that old maxim, forgive and forget. We need to add a new one to our list, give and forget. You know, the irony is that if we remember it, God forgets it. But if we'll forget it, God will remember it, even down to the least thing we do, cup of cold water offered in His name. There's only one right motive, and that is because of our relationship with God, because of our love for the Lord Jesus Christ. I am to give because God sees it and God is pleased. I'm to give because God gave to me. God loves a cheerful giver. And when you give for that motive, you don't have to worry about being slighted or not being recognized, because our Father in heaven sees all. In fact, Jesus said, "Your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." You know, the frightening thing about hypocrisy, though, is that it can come on unconsciously, and we may not even be aware that we're being caught up in that trap of hypocrisy. If you had asked these men that Jesus was criticizing in His day, "Are you hypocrites?" they would have said, "Of course not. Of course not. We're faithful children of God." And if you ask any hypocrite today, they wouldn't even recognize it. And I am convinced that they are, many of them, honestly do not know or believe that they are hypocrites. And that means that we all could have that element in us and not even recognize it at times. In Matthew chapter 7, in verse 22, Jesus, here in the Sermon on the Mount, as He ends it, talks about that very issue. He says, "Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, didn't we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons, perform many miracles?' And I'll tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" There are going to be a lot of people who are unconscious hypocrites, undiagnosed hypocrites. And sometimes I'm fearful. You know, what if I'm that person who stands before God, and God's been looking at the motives of my heart, and I've not even been fully aware of them myself? And what if I'm the evil person that He sends away because of my hypocrisy in the realm of my religion? And so I want to close with a little test this morning. I want to give you a test that I call a hypocrite test. And let me ask you these questions, and it's a self-administered test, and it'll help you know whether or not you're slipping into this. So here it is. Question number one. Have I ever failed to obey God because of peer pressure? And maybe I shouldn't say have you ever, because we all do things that are wrong. But is that a pattern in your life? Do you fail to obey God because of what your friends or workmates or associates might think about you? You go along with them instead of honoring God. Number two, do I ever do my service for God secretly? You know, that's a pretty good test right there. If you do what you do, if you do your giving and your praying, if you do these things at times secretly, not to be honored by your fellow Christians, then that's a pretty good indication that your heart is in the right place. Number three, is my private life consistent with my public life? Can you face the individual in the mirror? Are you living privately what you publicly portray yourself to be? Number four, does it upset me if others get credit for what I do? Well, that was my idea. And then she took it and ran with it, and now she's getting all the credit for it. Does that really just eat you up? Can you hardly stand that? You know, someone who has the right motive doesn't really care who gets the credit as long as the job gets done. Number five, have I ever stopped giving or stopped serving or stopped attending church because I was not recognized? You see, a person that's a hypocrite will stop doing good things if they don't get the right attention. And then lastly, and this is the most important one of all, am I ever discouraged or even defeated by the hypocrisy of others? Did you know that one of the most common and yet the lamest of all excuses for people who reject God and reject Christianity is that the church is full of hypocrites? And there are many people out there who will be lost themselves because they've stood behind a hypocrite and they've let a hypocrite keep them from God. Let me tell you this. There are hypocrites. Every church has them. There are plastic preachers and there are cardboard Christians, and the world is going to be full of those kind of people. But Jesus is not a hypocrite. He is the one I serve. He is the one I have my relationship with. And every organization is going to have them. One of the 12 apostles was a hypocrite. Now, some doctors are quacks, but do you stop going to doctors? Some lawyers are shysters, but does that mean you're going to never use a lawyer? Some money is counterfeit, so are you going to forgo using money? Of course not. And some Christians are hypocrites. But our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was not a hypocrite. A preacher one time was out visiting one of his members, and that member had quit going to church, and he said, "Oh, preacher, that church is just full of hypocrites." And he said, "Well," he said, "let me look at your pigs, your hogs. I want to buy one of them." And so he showed him all of his hogs out there, and there was one little old crippled up runt of a pig, and the preacher said, "I want that one." And he said, "Oh, you don't want that one. I've got some nice ones here." He said, "No, I want that one." And he insisted on it, and finally the farmer sold him that little old crippled up runt of a pig. And he said, "What in the world are you going to do with that?" He said, "I'm going to take it around town, and I'm going to tell everyone that that's representative of the kind of hogs you raise." And he said, "That's not fair." And he said, "Well, it's not fair either to look at a hypocrite or two and say the church is full of folks like that, because that's not true. That is not true. And you and I know it. The church is full of people, I'm convinced, by and large, who honor God for pure motives, and who serve God for pure motives." You know, God looks at the heart, and what He wants more than anything is a tender, yielded heart. And so this morning, we want to close, and Dwight announced the invitation song. We're going to sing that. And there may be someone here who needs to respond. And I would just encourage anyone that wants to respond, do it for the right motive. Don't do it because of your husband or of your wife or because of your parents or because of your children. Come to Him because you love Him and because you're responding to the love that He first showed you to what He did for you at Calvary. If you need to come this morning, won't you come as we stand and as we sing?